Network, proudly presents the Jay's Play Show. With your host, CyberGolf.com's own Jay Clemmer, and co-starring a galaxy of the golf and sports world's greatest names as special guests. Yo, 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 this is your main man, DJ Q, telling you to put your hands together for your friend and mine, Jay Clemmer.
All right, thank you, DJQ, for bringing us into the show in style. Hey, everybody, happy Open Championship Week. I am indeed Jay Farmer, and you are listening to Jay's Plays on the Golf Newsnet Radio Network. Jay's Plays is brought to you by JB's Best Hot Sauce. It's the boldest, the spiciest, the most amazing hot sauce you've ever had. It's on every table in the South, and it should be on yours. If it says JB's, it's the best. You know what else is the best? It's Open Championship Week, okay? As a kid, this was always my favorite tournament growing up because once a year I would get to see these wonderful links courses, you know, and get to watch the play of a type of golf that was different from what we usually see here in the States. You know, lots of wind cheaters, lots of ground game, lots of stingers, and some really creative short games. So, and all the great exotic locales, and Royal Troon this year's venue is one of those. So we're going to be talking Open Championship today, and we've got a really special guest to do it with. It's about time we had another woman on the show, so we're totally glad to have her on for that reason. But she is also over at the University of St. Andrews, a rising sophomore, as well as the rising stars of the Junior Tour in the United States. We've got one of the great young players in America. Please give a warm Jay's Plays welcome to Alexa Hammer. Welcome to the show, Alexa.
Thank you. Hi, Jay. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited.
I'm glad to have you, okay? And glad to have you at such a great time, too. I mean, how much fun is it to be on during Open Championship Week?
It's super fun. Like you said, I've always loved watching the Open because I think it's so much different than all the other events, and it's such a unique major. So I'm always super excited when it's Open Week, especially to watch it on TV. And it's different this year because I'm watching and saying, hey, I live there because I attend University of St. Andrews in St. Andrews, Scotland. So it's kind of special to be able to watch it, and I kind of am missing being in Scotland.
Have you learned how to play links golf there? And tell us a little bit about some of the adjustments you've had to make.
Well, I'm originally from Delray Beach, Florida, so I've grown up playing Florida golf, a bunch of courses with a bunch of water, so it was definitely a big adjustment going from Florida golf, pretty flat, to links golf with all the slopes and bumps, but I definitely have made the adjustment. It wasn't easy at first. I thought that I would never be able to make the adjustment and learn how to play some of these shots, but I think after my first year there, I would definitely say I feel pretty confident in my adjustment to links golf.
Well, now, you've got a bit of an advantage because you come from a long line of golfing royalty, with your dad, Kevin, being one of the great amateur players in America, and your grandfather, Laurie, being one of the great touring professionals and club pros the game has ever seen.
Yes, I've been super lucky to be able to have this golf lineage in my family, and I think a big aspect of me loving golf and playing it my whole life is that I can do it with my dad and my grandpa. I mean, I started, since I could remember, playing and going to the range with them, and it's just super special to be able to have them help me and have them be such great players and help me become who I am today as a player. And I think a big decision of me even deciding St. Andrews was the fact that my dad brought it to my attention when I went over to a golf trip there, and I just fell in love with the town. So I think that a lot of people can relate to having golf in their family, and I think it's just super special.
How old were you when your dad stuck a club in your hands and said, time to go out and play?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I mean, there's a photo of me when I was 3 going out with my dad, so I can't remember, but I remember since I was 8 years old going to little tournaments with my dad and having been my caddy when I had 3 whole tournaments. So ever since I can remember, golf has been a major part of my life and my family's life.
Yes, I started when I was 3, too, okay? Mom would take me to the 15th green, and I'd go running out there with a pitcher of ice tea for Dad and the boys, he'd drive off and they'd let me putt the last four holes. And I got so good at putting that one of the guys in Dad's group insisted, he's got to putt last. All the rest of you guys get to go to school on his putt. I took that as a big time compliment. Now, you're quite the player yourself, Lex, because you've made the team, the Saints golf team, at St. Andrews University, at the home of golf. Tell us a little bit about your team and about its travels.
Yes, it was really exciting to be able to be so welcomed into the team and to be wanted to play for the team. It's been a great experience so far. I've really enjoyed it, but it's a little different than I think what most people would expect over there. The team, which is called Saints Golf, the University of St. Andrews, is co-ed, so it's a mixture of guys and girls rather than the traditional women's teams and men's teams at universities here in the States. But I like that a lot. I think it challenges me to be able to play with a lot of the boys, and it's just been a really great experience so far. Our team travels to the States quite often for golf trips, and I've seen a lot of different courses and been privileged to play a lot of great courses with the team. So I'm super excited about the next 3 years on the team as well.
Now, you said something fascinating a minute ago about playing with the boys and practicing with the boys and the team being co-ed. Is there a difference in playing a golf course and attacking a golf course and the attitude that comes with, you know, playing around a golf for score between the boys and the girls? Are the boys more aggressive? Are the boys more daring? Do they take more risks?
I mean, I think most of the time, probably. I would say sometimes that's not necessarily smart, but I think sometimes they do. I think it only
They tend to roar. They forget. A lion should not roar while hunting, but go on ahead. Yeah.
I think that it's just most of the time the boys are better players and, like you said, maybe more aggressive players. So I think it just gives a different vibe playing with them. But what is unique, too, about the team is I play a lot of match play matches against other boys. So a large part of our team isn't just stroke play. It's match play matches every Sunday for our university. And I've never played a match play match for them or for the team playing against another girl. It's always every single time against another boy. So sometimes that's nerve-wracking when they're 100 yards further up in the fairway than me. But it's fun, and I think it's a good experience, and it's made me a better player.
What do you think the biggest benefit to your game has been by playing with the boys?
I think probably more my mental game than anything, because I kind of realized playing with the boys, usually anything can happen, and to kind of be patient. I think a lot of girls are, like you said, maybe a little more conservative, less aggressive than the boys. So when you play with girls, you're kind of used to them hitting every single fairway and most of the greens. But with the boys, I was kind of, it sounds bad, but a little patient for them to eventually miss a fairway big and get into some trouble and kind of be a little stupid. But not any insult to the boys on there, but I think it caused me to be more patient and affected my mental game more than anything. I've learned a lot through that.
Now, you and your team have played a bunch of Open Championship venues. Obviously, you practice at the old course, but tell us about the other major venues that you've played.
So I've played a good amount around Scotland, but there's always so many more courses to play, so that's exciting to get around and hopefully play Royal Troon, where the Open is this year, obviously. I haven't played that yet. But I have played Muirfield a good amount of times, and then I've played Carnoustie twice, and then obviously, like you said, the old course, St. Andrews, multiple times.
You know, it's a shame to see Muirfield fall off the road for a political reason, because golfing loyalty always wins at Muirfield. Every single time, it seems, it's been an absolute immortal. You know, Nicklaus, Mickelson, and Watson, and the list is endless. And speaking of Mickelson, by the way, he now is one stroke.
The sole leader.
Stenson. Yes, they have cleared to the ninth fairway now. Mickelson started the day two up on him. He's one up now. So, and Mickelson did a heck of a shot on the postage stamp. Now, here's something weird, Alexa. we're looking at a very green tune. And when guys are able to put backspin on wedge shots, you know, at the British Open, at the Open Championship, it's kind of a little like a PGA Championship in July. Okay, I'm not used to seeing.
Yeah, it's not necessarily normal.
I'm a big fan of Biscuit Brown, okay, and playing the ground game. You know, so tell us a little bit about how you had to adapt to learning to play the ground game, and do you think it's made you a more creative short game player, and does it pay benefits back here in the States as well?
I definitely think it's made me more creative, not only in short game, but in my whole game. That's another reason I think that it's made me a better player, a more well-rounded player. Well, first off, with that aspect, I never had a 4-iron. You know, a lot of people carry 2-iron, whatever, but I went out and bought myself a 4-iron and tried to hit some lower shots that I could run along the ground and take the wind with. So that was different for me, playing these low shots, you know, along the ground that rolled. And I was always shocked with where I'd be 180 yards out and I'd hit a 9-iron. My coach would say, hit a 9-iron, downwind, you know, roll, run in low along the ground. I said, there's no way that's going to get there. So I think it allowed me to be more imaginative and creative, definitely.
That's what I like to see at the Open Championship. I like to see the guys play, you know, all sorts of different shots. So it's a little bit unusual this year. Plus, the weather has been very strange over in Scotland. It's been a wet, lush, you know, soft, as you guys call it, summer and spring. And so that's why we're seeing a very green Royal Troon right now.
Yes, definitely. I was definitely not expecting it to be this green or soft.
Now, tell us a little bit about Carnoustie and Muirfield. What were your impressions of those two venues?
I know Muirfield just a little bit better. Played a couple more rounds there than Carnoustie. But right before I came back to Florida for the summer, I played both. And I don't know, I love Carnoustie. I think both of them are super special. You can't go wrong playing either of them, and you're going to have great experiences at both, and they're going to be super tough challenges and make you sometimes question why you play. But
sure, Muirfield, with the way that it winds around like a clock one way and then back the other way, the wind changes direction on every hole. And then Carnoustie is just a brutish, you know, including that finish. I'm curious what your score was on number 18. Did you beat John Vandeveld 7?
Well, of course.
At the Old Course at Carnoustie.
Oh, yes, at Carnoustie, yes. I actually made 4. So usually I don't know what direction the wind is, but usually the caddies there were telling me that the prevailing wind is downwind on 18, and then, you know, you play 17 the opposite direction. So 17 is usually into the wind, and 18 is usually downwind. But when I played there last, actually both two times I played there, what they rarely have is the opposite wind. So I played 18 into the wind. So I was playing like 6,400 yards total for the course, and I was thinking to myself on the TO, I'm kind of questioning getting it there in 2, you know, hitting the green in 2 with this crazy wind. And then I hit a good, really straight, low driver and then hit a 5-iron in there and made 4. So I was happy with that.
It's a heck of a way to play that extremely difficult hole, possibly the most difficult closing hole in major championship golf. Meanwhile, Søren Shelton just went from one patch of rough to another patch of rough, okay? If you thought his hair was standing on end before this, you got to see it now, okay? That looks like a pineapple. with the advisory he's got on and the bleached blonde hair, okay, he looks like he just ran into the Blair Witch.
one of those advisors with the fake hair on top. You know those? Have you seen those? That's kind of what it looks like to me.
Yeah, you're a fake Lloyd Wright. Amy, we're going to take a short break, everybody. We're going to come back with the trivia question, and then we're going to talk a little bit more about the Open Championship and some more of Alexis' travels. I'm Jay Plummer. You're listening to Jay's Plays on the Golf News Net Radio Network.
That bump music means we're going to have to take a short break. Don't go away. We'll be back at the second half of the show in just a minute. This is your main man, DJ Q, and you're listening to Jay's Place on the Golf News Net Radio Network.